Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
It's another edition of the Playing Through podcast. Always keeping up to date on everything golf. It's Froggy, at Froggy Radio on Twitter and Instagram. Here with Brian Wacker today, at Brian Wacker 1 on Twitter. And Brian Golf's at the PGA Show. So he'll be back with all the cool new gadgets, telling us all about everything going on. You know, all the stuff we'll waste money on and because our game's not good. And instead of just actually like learning how to swing the club. But today, we're going to talk to a guy who I'm really interested to talk to. His name is Dean Snell. He's the president of Snell Golf. And you're not going to realize that you know a lot about Dean Snell until we talk to him. You're going to find out all about him. Dean, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's a little cold here, but we need some sun to get on the golf course pretty soon.
Yeah, please. I know, right? Yeah, I know. You're definitely going to need some sunshine. So I was reading all about you. Snell Golf, affordable golf balls for the regular guy. So you once worked at Titleist, then at TaylorMade, and now you're making your own golf balls.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate, in all honesty, to work with two of the best companies in golf, with Titleist and TaylorMade, and you know, have nothing but good things to say about both companies. You know, they're very, very good to me, and I enjoyed working there. A couple of years back, the direction that TaylorMade was going with the golf ball side to it, and what they really wanted to do, and the focus on the club side, you know, was an opportunity for me to say, hey, you know, golf was really hurting. You know, memberships were down, courses were closing, people weren't playing. The market shares were down quite a bit, as far as the golf business goes. So I thought maybe, you know, now's the time to see if all the stuff that I've been able to do for the last 25 years working with those companies, and specifically with the tour players, if I could bring that back to consumers, bring some of that technology and materials, processes, and the designs, and make it affordable for consumers that really never had. The tour players get this stuff for free, so
right.
they don't buy. But if I could make a tour-type golf ball that could be affordable for everybody to have and try, and you know, maybe let you go play two rounds instead of one or something like that. That was the goal for when we started. We started self-funded and keep it small, and you know, it's kind of taken off. It's a direct model. We ship straight to your home for free, and it's not for free shipping, and things are going well.
Really? So there's no storefront. You can't buy them in the store. If you want to buy them, it's snellgolf.com, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, there's a few small places that have called. You know, again, the system that's out there now with sales reps and tour players and going into pro shops and, you know, make the golf balls be $45, $50 a dozen. So if we take that, we had five tour players approach us so far to play the ball, but, you know, they want money, and that's not our business model.
Really?
If we do that kind of business, now we're going to be $45 to $50 a dozen. So we respectfully declined, you know, and if they want them, we'll give them to them. But, you know, supporting the tours is an expense, and, you know, all those things add up. So you know, we are in a few pro shops. If the pro shops are interested, they've called us. We've got a program for them. They pay up front. We ship so we don't have to chase money. And, you know, and we've probably grown that maybe about 65 or 70 pro shops now that's growing. But it's 95% of our business is direct online.
Now, I see here you've got two balls, the MTB Black and MTB Red, and I know that a lot of people want to compare to the Pro V1 or the Pro V1X or the TP5 or the TP5X. So what's the difference in the black and the red?
So we started a couple of years back with just one tour ball, and it was called MTB. So it was my tour ball, MTB. And what I do is, you know, when I worked with TaylorMade and Titleist, I worked with all the tour players, and I used their feedback to design product. So I'd go see them, work with them, and they'd have a lot of little things. Each player had a different thing that they were very good at, but that's what we did. So we would design the golf balls, and then we would sell them. So everybody got what they wanted in the ball. This approach is a little different. I've taken the current MTB that we had, which is a three-piece cast urethane golf ball, and I read all the social media sites, all the emails, all the feedback for the last couple of years, and I created a box or a chart on my desk, high spin, low spin, you know, drivers, mid-irons, approach shots, wedges, the high trajectory, low trajectory, soft feel, firm feel, you know, all these little things. And then as I read all the information that the consumers that are actually playing the ball say for feedback, I write them in the box. So when a box fills up, that's a voice. When those voices are there, then I started the prototype work. So the MTB was a very successful ball for us. very soft feel, but the goal for it was, you know, to try to control spin, control approach shot spin into the green, so when you hit, the balls don't suck back, and you know they're better in the wind. And then the feedback we got from our customers was, yeah, I like the ball, but can you add a little more spin on your 7, 8, 9 pitch and wedge, A wedge shots? So that's what we started to develop on the MTB Red. So the MTB Red is a four-piece urethane ball. Now we added an inside layer and created a little more spin with the 7, 8, 9 pitch and wedge for the players that need it compared to the original MTB. So MTB Black is an upgrade to MTB. A little bit lower driver spin, a little bit softer in feel, but everything else is the same. And then the MTB Red is an additional spin with the approach shots into the green, and then around the green, very soft feel with a lot of spin.
Now, Dean, I just have one question, really. How far does the ball go? Because, as you know, especially being in the ball business, that is the number one topic when it comes to equipment, the discussion of how far guys are hitting it these days. Look at on tour, for example, 67 players right now currently averaging 300 yards or better off the tee. It's a big debate, but let's start with your ball, how far it goes, and then I want to get into your thoughts on the great distance debate that we're once again having. We seem to have every year or every 5 years or 10 years. It's been going on forever. You know this.
Yeah, 25 years in a row for me.
Exactly, yeah. So first of all, your ball – in terms of being how far it goes in terms of distance?
Well, there's two things that there's five criteria the USGA require us to do on golf balls, and they're all really related to distance. There's a size and a weight part of it that, you know, they put restrictions on to control distance. There's a symmetry part, which means it has to fly the same no matter how it's teed up. And then the other two factors are velocity and overall distance. So They've had velocity testing in place forever, and the maximum limit on velocity hasn't changed at all. So I know people talk about the golf balls today go too fast. They don't go any faster than they did 40 years ago. Wound golf balls used to actually be made over the legal limit, and then the Bellotta cover would bring them back down right to the limit. So Bellotta golf balls and today's golf balls have the exact same speed. They're not any faster. It's impossible. The USGA hasn't changed the rule. And then the overall distance standard, which they do a lot of testing. So when you think about the overall distance standard that they put out there, we run our velocities and our overall distance standards right to the max. So the golf balls that we just submitted, you actually get almost like on a warning list for them saying, hey, be careful, you're at the max. So the balls, under their control testing and the way they do it, can't go any further. We've maxed it out. So the distance gain, you know, so the golf balls are all going to be long. It's really the player that controls the launch and spin. But the distance debate that's out there today is not about velocity at all. You know, and for me, it's not even a golf ball, sole golf ball issue. I think the tour players are freaks of nature today with respect to golf. Their fitness regime that they do is unbelievable. So if you put this in perspective, when I started in golf in 1990, the average ball speed off the face of the driver back then was about 160 miles an hour.
Wow.
And today they're about 175 miles an hour, these guys, the long hitters. So that's 15 mile an hour faster that the ball is coming off the face. And at their speeds, 1 mile an hour is about 2.5 yards. But the golf ball is not any faster in design. So this is what they're being able to do for the ball to make the ball go further. They could hit it harder. The drivers are bigger. The sweet spots are huge. The shafts, the clubs are longer. The players swing like crazy. You know, they're twisting around. So there's a lot of, there's four factors that go into this distance debate. One is the players' fitness and how they can generate ball speed. One is the club. You know, the clubs have become higher loft, lower spin, bigger sweet spots, longer. So that's added distance. One is the fairways. I think some of the balls in Hawaii are still rolling from the event a couple of weeks ago. And then one is the ball. And in my opinion, and I've looked at this for a long, long time, it's equal. It's about 25% of the distance problem is equal in those four areas. So if you, and I studied, La Costa used to have a West Coast swing come through there, and they play La Costa, and 1 year it rained, so La Costa was very soft. And I looked at the top ten players and the five best players in the world that played in that event, and I looked at their driver distance, and it was 27 yards shorter the year it rained. You know, so when you if the grounds are softer with these guys play and the roll is reduced, that's going to help some of the problem. But you know, their fairways are pretty well mown, and they're pretty firm, and the balls roll out pretty far, and they get a lot of distance. But if you move players back 30 yards in golf just because of the ball, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up creating a bigger problem on tour with the same guys going to win. Because today, even though these guys are hitting wedges in, the shorter hitters are still hitting pitching wedges and 9-irons, and you're able to get close. In proximity to the pin is about 15 feet for the best player from 100 yards. So they're able to stay in the game. If you move Dustin Johnson back to have to hit 8-irons into all these par fours, you're moving the Fred Funks and the short hitters back to hitting 4 and 5-irons.
Right.
And that's going to be a big problem. You know, right. your longer hitters.
The game's going to be easier for Dustin still, and it's going to be way harder for those guys.
Exactly. And then the other side to it is there isn't anybody in the world that's going to want to go buy those golf balls, because you got to sell them if you want to make them. So, hey, let's make a ball that goes 30 yards shorter. I don't play with anybody on Saturday that's asking me to make the ball shorter.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the guys I play with still suck. So it's supposed to be a fun game for people. You know, the tour players, they do have, you know, are creating some problems with courses, making them really short. I totally agree with it. But I said something to someone the other day saying, hey, how come the golf ball, you want to make the ball shorter when you have a driver problem, right? It's a driver issue, like the distance on the driver. So why do you want to change all the performance of the golf ball for everybody and move players all the way back? Why don't you make a tour driver so that the manufacturers can make just a driver? So the sweet spot's smaller, the head's smaller, the length is restricted, and they can't hit their driver that far. They have to dial it back a little bit. And now they can play the rest of the game that they've played. Well, that's going to ruin the driver business, you know. So it doesn't. No one's going to want to buy that driver. So I think you really create a huge problem when you try to solve a four-factor problem with one part of the four.
Well, and then it gets into a matter of bifurcation, i.e., a different set of rules, and even this pertains to equipment, amateur versus professional. A tour ball. We've heard some talk of this, of course, especially in recent months, in recent years. A tour ball versus a ball that everybody else would play, because you're right. I don't think anybody on a Saturday is asking, to hit the ball shorter.
No, I'd love to hit a little further.
Yeah.
And with some guys actually that play is, you know, the golf business and the people that play golf, the age is not 20 years old as average. It's a little bit older. And a lot of times people are moving up tees. You know, they're going up. They're not saying this golf course is, you know, got to be lengthened. It's got to be shortened for them,
right,
as they get a little older. So, you know, you're focusing on the tour as a solution to a golf business problem. And there's the fifth factor that comes into this is money. You know, if you win a ball contract.
Right? I mean, that really is the number one thing driving all of this.
Yeah, there'd be no business. So what manufacturer is going to raise their hand saying, let me make the tour golf ball? So I'm going to make this. I'm going to spend about $2 million to tool it up, because I got to create a new, whole new dimple pattern and a whole new set of cavities, and it's going to cost me $2 million to tool this up, and I'm going to make them, and I'm going to let the tour players play them, and then no one's going to want to buy them.
Right, and then the ones that you give to the tour players, you give them to them for free, so you're not getting any money back that way either.
Exactly. There's no reason to want to do it, and the tour players are going to say, geez, I don't have to play this golf ball from you right now, because they all go this much shorter, so you know, they don't really have a reason, you know. So they're not going to pay the tour, and no one's going to get any. They can't sell the golf balls the tour players play them. So there's no endorsement tied to it to say, hey, this is the ball that Sergio Garcia just won with this week. You can play this. No, I don't. It's 30 yards shorter than the one I got. You can play it.
Right,
Dean. Where does all this go? Where's the limit? I mean, are we going to see the days of 9,000 yard golf courses on tour, or, you know, I mean, at some point there has to be a limit, I would think. Where do you see this going in 10, 20 years from now?
Well, I think you're really at the, I think you're really at the distance max right now. You know, I don't think you can, by design of the golf balls, you know, having a low spin, high launch golf ball design, that's there today. The velocity can't be made any faster. The spin rates are very low. They're down in the 2,000 today. So the drivers try to lower spin. The ball tries to lower spin. That lets the players hit it higher and lets it go a little bit further. So I don't think the incremental 30, 40 yards of gain is going to be there. I think where you're at today is going to be pretty close. I mean, these guys are all athletic. You know, there's really a nice... If the tour really wanted to try to do something, you know, they can control. They control the golf course. They control the rough. They control the shape of the rough. They control the fairways. Everything. So if they really wanted to say, hey, you know, there's equipment that you put in the ground and it tells you, you know, where the water level is and if it needs to be watered or not. If they wanted to soften them up a little bit so there's not as much roll, that'll help. If they want to shape fairways about 290 yards out to bring them in a little bit or whatever, you know, with a little bit longer rough, that'll help, you know, and that's going to take some of the thought process when these guys stand on the tee or what they want to do. Not U.S. Open type, because the players will get hurt if they play in that all the time.
Right.
But you can do stuff with that that's going to bring the distance back a little bit without changing anything. And then on Monday morning, cut it and let us play. You know, Sunday
right.
The tournament's over. And then the rest of the year, your golf course is okay for everybody. So I think that's a start that they could try. They tried to do it with the rough. They try to do it with the wedges, you know, and what do the players do? They figure out how to control distances out of the rough with the grooves, and they actually get closer to the pin than they did with the other grooves. So they're that good, but I don't see a whole lot of people complaining when the Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas have a little shootout against each other on Sunday, you know, and
right.
It's exciting versus let's watch guys hit four irons into greens and center of greens and then make par. His golf is boring now.
Right.
And you know, and it's
exactly.
not no fun. So I kind of like it. I kind of like the seeing a guy hit the bombs and taking a shot with a wedge
yeah.
to a tight pin and stuff. But to other people, the courses don't like it because and Titleist did a very nice report. It's on their website actually about this, and it shows the scoring average, the driver distance, the money list for the tour players, these long hitters, and nothing's changed. It hasn't changed anything. The scoring averages are the same. So the distance is the big question, but the game isn't really being ruined by it, you know?
Yeah, it bothered me last year when Dustin Johnson, you remember the playoff, it was Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth, and Dustin took that ridiculous line
yeah.
over the corner. And there were a lot of people upset. Like, I remember Ian Poulter was upset. It shouldn't have come down to this. And Brandel Chamblee was upset. And I'm like, wait a second, guys. You know, Dustin Johnson took that line. He still had to hit a great golf shot. And if you remember, he had to make a putt to get into the playoff, number one.
Yep.
And then he hit a wedge shot in there tight and made it. Like, well, that's not fair because Jordan hit driver and was back and had it. I mean, that's just what golf has turned into. Some of these guys are freaks. They hit the ball a mile long. And if you hit the ball a mile long and you hit it straight, you should be rewarded by hitting a wedge into a green.
100% agree. Yeah, the good analogy is baseball. Mm-hmm. When these freaks from the Yankees come up now, the Stanton and Judge,
yeah.
you know, because they can hit the ball 500 feet, but the second baseman can't. They don't let the second baseman hit from the pitcher's mound. You know,
right.
you got to still bat from home plate, and you can still win the game with a single or a double. You know, so there's always going to be someone stronger than you, someone that can hit it further than you. But if you really slow it down, I think you're creating a bigger problem in the game. In all aspects of it, with respect to money, with respect to tour wins, and then respect to how people are seeing the game of golf, you know, that buy the products.
And you bring up a good point about baseball. I think that's a great analogy also from the standpoint of, look at how often we had, right, let me back up. We had the steroid era in baseball.
Right.
Balls were flying out of parks in record rate. Then there was an image problem because baseball had this steroid issue. So the sport went through a big downturn because of that. Then we went through a very brief period post-steroids where you saw a lot of teams winning with not the long ball. A lot of doubles, a lot of situational hitting, great pitching, so on and so forth.
Right.
Now there's a lot of talk within baseball that the ball is juiced, and we're seeing guys, maybe the players aren't juiced, but now the ball's juiced. And because for baseball, it's good for business. If balls are flying out, people
Absolutely.
Like seeing home runs. And
that's why they have a home
run
derby. They don't have a single derby or the double derby. No, they have a
that's
home
correct.
Run derby because we want to watch people. It's just like a long drive contest.
Exactly.
We have a long drive contest because people want to see the ball go 400 yards.
Yep.
I've never in my life seen the wedge tour where people go out and watch guys hit wedges. That's not what we want to see.
Dean, do you think we'll have a day on tour? I cited those numbers How many guys are averaging 300 yards? And sort of now that the talk is, and I've talked to a number of players about this, what is a bomber these days? You know, you can certainly look at a Jordan Spieth who averages just a shade under 300, but is not considered short. So do you think we'll have a day when the average, the leader, you know, is 350, 375, somewhere in that range off the tee, and where you have 100 or 125 guys all hitting it 300 yards off the tee? And does that make it better in your eyes? Is it more exciting if golf continues that direction?
I don't know if it'll ever be all of that many, because, you know, as you guys know, the game of golf is far more than the drive. You know, so there's a lot of good guys that I've worked with, a lot of good players that I'd put a pitching wedge in the hand before I put a sand wedge in the hand and watch them watch how close they can get it, you know, because of the height and the control. But I think that there's so many good players out there. The average ball speed is increasing, which is obviously a reflection of distance increasing. I think that's going to continue to happen from a ball speed point of view, because I think there's going to be more players like the Dustin Johnsons coming, but I don't think it'll be, you know, the whole tour would be that way now.
Right.
There's still room for the singles hitters in golf, no question about it.
And we had this conversation last week in Hawaii with some players or 2 weeks ago, where, you know, not that long ago, Luke Donald was number one in the world, Lee Westwood, number one in the world. These are guys who are not long hitters particularly, you know, and are those days over? Do you have to be a bomber, in other words? Or is just everybody going to hit it far?
Yeah, it'll grow. The list will grow, but I don't think you have to be. You know, I don't think you got to be, you know, I don't think you. Dustin Johnson is number one in the world because he figured out how to hit a wedge, because he's always hit the ball a long way.
Absolutely.
You know, and then the other aspect to being number one comes into the putter. You know, when you're out on tour and every your approach shots from 100 yards are 16 feet average, those aren't tap-ins for birdies. You know,
right.
So you got to be able to make some putts, and that's another skill. So the good putters of the game are always Jordan Spieth. He might not be 300 yards, but he's probably one of the best putters out there. You know, which is why he's been up there. So
right. Dustin Johnson's hit it long his whole life, but when he figured out how to knock wedges to 5 feet and make putts, he went to number one in the world, and that's just the way it is. And that just like John Rahm. John Rahm hits at a mile, and he's the number two player in the world now. But why? Because he makes putts.
Yeah, exactly. And he'll be number one someday. That guy, I worked with him when I was a TaylorMade. He is unbelievably good.
Really?
Yeah, he's got to control his temper a little bit. He's got to control the emotion a little bit. Yeah. But he's young. He'll learn that. You know,
he's just
a fiery guy. But he's young. But I go back to a long times too. And when I first started working in golf, I worked with Tiger when I was a Titleist. I worked with Tiger with the Titleist Professional. And him and his father came in, and we spent two straight weeks of just testing the ball to understand. And Tiger took the game of understanding what every single club is and what it does and trajectory and spin, and he had it dialed to know everything before he left. And the educational part and the fitness part, you know, all changed when he did that. But he used to hit the ball as long as anybody out on tour, and he was number one. Then he used to hit the ball three fairways over, and he'd come over the top and make the putt for birdie, and he'd still be number one.
Right.
You know, so the distance side to it's there. The accuracy has to still be there, the control of it, and then you still got to make putts. You know, he wasn't the best driver in the world. He could hit it far, but he could still win because he could make putts. You know,
Dean, you brought up an interesting point there, of course, with Tiger, and, you know, your long history in golf, one of the co-inventors of the original Pro V1, and worked with TaylorMade and on down the line, as well as Titleist. And of course, Tiger is a noted equipment freak. I mean, I've heard all the stories about just how intelligent he is, how curious he is. Give us your best Tiger equipment testing story in your experience.
Yeah, well, I worked with him when I was a Titleist early. So then he left Titleist and he went to Nike and stuff. So those first 2 weeks, he was a kid. You know, he was just a young kid with his dad. And his father was right there with him. You know, every shot he had to know. But Tiger, when he left after 2 weeks, he could tell you what the spin rate of every club he had in his bag was going to be, and what the yardage to the yard was going to be.
Wow,
that's where he tuned himself into. So he would work on swings. If he's hitting his 7-iron and his 7-iron spinning 7,400 RPMs, and he didn't want that because it was ballooning, he would work on his swing to try to take 400 RPMs out of that shot.
Dang.
to try to control to the 7,000, which was a distance that he could now say that's going to go 156 or something like that. You know, that's how good he was.
And he was just a teenager.
He was just a kid, yeah. Amazing. And he wanted to know every shot, what was that? What was that spin? What was that? What's the yardage? And he would look at the trajectory and the yardage to say that spin's too much or not enough, and that's how we did the testing with him.
Wow. Excuse Dean, me. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Real quick, if you want to, you know, you're tired of overpaying for golf balls, it's snellgolf.com, MTB Black, MTB Red. They've even got a test pack, $32. You can test all the golf balls. You can
just
test
it.
It really is a great price. And they've even got a lower, like a lower grade ball. It's called the Get Some. Only $21 a dozen gets you golf balls that are quality golf balls, tour quality, yet you're not paying the crazy tour quality prices. You can get them at snellgolf.com. Thank you so much, Dean. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dean.
All right. Thanks for having me. See
you
guys.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Wow. Talk about a guy who is really totally knows all about, you know, just to test with Tiger when he was a teenager. And that back then, the guy was able to tone his swing to get the spin rate that he wanted on the golf ball back then. That's where you really see the difference in Tiger Woods and then some of these guys that just, as we know, play caveman golf, just see ball, hit ball. It really is a completely different aspect. But his take on the golf ball distance was one I didn't really expect. He said it really hasn't changed that much.
Well, look, he's in the golf ball business, you know, so I understand where that's coming from. And look, I'm of the camp that there's never really one answer to a big problem or a big question, rather.
Right.
And certainly it's not just the golf ball, as he said. It's absolutely the equipment. I mean, we've seen it with some of these incredibly thin faces where you're really stressing the driver to its max and getting this massive trampoline effect out of it. You're talking about you mentioned the athleticism, guys like Dustin Johnson and so forth, the swing speeds that these guys are coming at the ball with. All of it plays a role, the shafts, the club head.
Right.
The golf ball.
It's a totally different world. It really is. There's so much technology in the golf now that they're able to fine-tune every single piece of equipment, and that's why the ball is going further. I don't know that it's as much of a ball problem, like he said, as it is an equipment problem, but I don't know that it's really a problem. I mean, for example, we've got the waste management coming up in a couple weeks. I know everybody talks about the stadium hole and the hole-in-ones, but it's also, I believe it's the hole after that, it's a drivable par four. Everybody loves to watch that hole. You miss it a little bit left, it'll roll off in the water. But if you take that chance, people still want to drive the golf ball a long ways.
Well, it becomes a problem when some of the courses we have become, quite frankly, obsolete because of it, because distance is no longer a factor there.
But it makes it interesting. You were at the tournament in Hawaii when Dustin almost knocked in a hole-in-one on a par four. The ball rolled right up to the hole. I still don't know how it stopped to put the brakes on. I know that golf course now is probably becoming obsolete because of the distance, but it's fun to watch them hit the ball that far. It's all risk reward. If you and I go and play there, I've got no chance of driving that green. These guys do because they're freaks.
What it does, though, is it changes. It takes out some of the beauty and the architecture. You look at Augusta at the 13th hole, which they just purchased land behind the tee to potentially lengthen that hole out, make it even longer. We see it at places like St. Andrews and some other links courses where they've had to change the golf course to combat, you know, distance gains. And you just hope it doesn't get to a point where the norm is 8,000-yard, 9,000-yard golf courses on tour. Because I do disagree a little bit with Dean from the standpoint of I don't think you're going to see sort of an average-length hitter ever be number one in the world. You know, Jordan Spieth.
He's an average-length hitter.
He's longer than people give him credit for. I mean, he averages about 298 off the tee, and he can crank it up a little bit here and there. He's definitely longer than most people I would think suspect. You know, the days of a Luke Donald, who is a, Dean mentioned, phenomenal short game. That guy, as good a bunker game as anybody in the world.
Yeah.
Terrific putter.
Zach Johnson.
Short game. Zach's another guy.
Has two majors, but probably never going to be number one
probably
in the world.
Probably not going to be number one in the world. It's become a bomber's game at the professional level. And this is where you get into the pro game versus the amateur game. Because look, you and I can go play, and we want all the distance we can get because need it.
You've seen me hit the ball.
Yeah.
I need all the distance I can get.
Yeah, I'll take everything I can get all day long.
I need straight and long. We
have a whole other set of problems. I don't think golf is going backwards in this technology. We don't really see it in other sports.
No, he makes a good point. Who's going to make a tour ball that goes shorter? You can't sell it.
Would you go buy a golf ball
that goes shorter?
No, certainly. And this is all driven by money, and it's good – for the tour. It's good for business if you look at it from that perspective. Certainly that's just one slice of the pie. It's good for their business to have guys hitting it a mile. People love to see the long ball.
They do.
So I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Playing through with Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.